thank the Lord this morning. When we started this series on love, the Lord opened it up with how we're to love God, and then he gave me these other messages that have to do with love. We have one more. This is the last one that he had given us, and it is about loving to serve the Lord, loving to serve God. We want to start in Mark 16, 15 through 18. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And this is Jesus, right before he was taken up from the disciples out of their sight. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All right, this is the great commission that God gave us. This was the most important thing that he wanted to leave behind for the disciples. His last words to them. You know how sometimes when we're sitting around our loved one's bed and they're getting ready to breathe their last, we want to know their last words. We want to know the thing that is most important at the end. What is it they want you to know the most? And this was it. Is that we had a commission. We had a duty. We had a following, a calling, so to speak, of what we were to do out in this world. And it was to go and preach the gospel everywhere. Now, of course, we know not all of us are preachers, pulpit preachers. Some of us are Sunday school teachers. Some of us are Bible study teachers. Some of us are song leaders. Some of us are missionaries. Some of us meet people in the streets and we're able to talk and deal with them. Some of us have done many things to further the work of God. Some things are very noticeable and out in front, and some things are under the surface. We have many, many prayer warriors that you don't see them. You may not know much about them, but you sure know who to call to pray, don't you? You know who to call. And why? Because you know that they pray, and you know that their prayers get through. And so we call them when we're in trouble, and we ask them to pray with us. It is very, very important to love to serve the Lord. If we do not love to serve him, then our efforts, if they're not immediately fulfilled, we will get discouraged. If we don't love to serve the Lord, we will get tired. We will get complacent. We will get into a place where the other things start crowding in and we're not serving the Lord like we should. And no doubt many of us, as we have gone through our lives and through our experiences, we have found ourselves in some of those places where there was things that were crowding out the service of God. And we had to renew our service to the Lord. We had to ask forgiveness and ask the Lord to help us to be on fire for him again and do what he wants. It comes from a place of love, dear ones. It comes from a place where because of how much the Lord has done for us, we are doing for him. That's what it's about. All right, so move on to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And we're going to take the 24 and 25th verse. Matthew 6, 24 and 25. It says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The Lord is letting us know here that we can't serve two masters. If we love to serve the Lord, we cannot serve anything else. We cannot put anything else above our service to God. Mammon is represents money, life, our business, our important things. We cannot serve that. We have to serve Him alone. And yet, it says that we, it says, take no thought for your life. We know that that doesn't mean exactly what it's saying. Because we have to take thought for our life. We have to realize when we need to eat and when we need to rest, and we have to see these things. We have to realize we have to go to work and make money to pay our bills and to put food on the table and to have a house over our head. And that is not what the Lord is talking about. He is talking about to love it more than Him. To love all of these things that are here for us to have in this life, to love all of that more than we love Him. To serve that more than we serve Him. It takes a lot of service to go to work, doesn't it? You're there at work at a job for 8 hours or more. And so you have to work hard. You have to do many things. You have to do things that don't feel good. You go to work when you don't feel good. You do a lot of things. You don't feel good about these things. But you do it because you have to. All right. So how much do we serve the Lord? See, we're forced, so to speak, to serve our mouths, put roofs over our heads. We're forced to do that. Otherwise, we won't have anything. But surely we don't think that we can lay aside our service to God and still have. Just like when we don't serve the things that are necessary in life to have what we have, if we don't serve the Lord correctly, if we don't give Him our time and our efforts and our energies, and if we don't pour love and service into God, then we aren't going to have what we need for spiritual things either. We're not going to have it. And we have to pour out our love to Him through our service. Our service. It's not just about coming to service on Sundays or Wednesdays or Sunday night. It's not about that. It's our service to Him. It's our service. If we may not feel like that we can do much, and we may not feel like we have very many talents to offer the Lord, but if we are carrying all the burdens of the saints, if we are praying for them, you know, it's service. Sometimes we're so wrapped up in our own, making our money, paying our bills, we forget about everybody else. We forget about what they're struggling through today, what they're going through. Oh, we've struggled through, we've gotten this done, we've gotten that done. Oh, this feels so good. I'm going to sit down here in my chair here and rest a little bit. Completely forgetting about what others might be going through right then, what they might need, what they might appreciate at that point in time, maybe a phone call, you know, maybe some prayer, whatever. Serving the Lord. Do you love to serve the Lord? Just really serve Him. You know, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, it's very common. We all know it, and how at that time there was such a love and a service that went out to God and His people, that people were selling everything they had, giving it to the Lord's work, making all things common. Whatever I have is yours, you know, whatever the other one has, it's yours. And there was no selfishness, there was no hoarding, there was no, just it was all about me. But they were just pouring their life's work, their life savings, their property, their their valuables, whatever, they were pouring it into God's work. I sometimes wonder, when we look at our money, do we pour it into God's work? We pour it into what we want. We pour it in to help our family. But do we pour it into God's work? Do we love to serve Him? Do we love to give? Listen, I grew up in the church from the time I got saved as a young woman in my 20s. I grew up hearing about how the saints gave. Do you remember those stories? How they gave, how they give their last, the last of their money. And they wouldn't have something to pay their own bill. But they poured it into God's work, into God's people, or whatever. And God never failed them. Never failed them. We don't hear very much about that anymore. Is it because people don't have needs anymore? Is it because the Lord doesn't have any needs? Is it because He doesn't need our money? I don't think that's it. I think that we are living in a world that demands a lot of service. If you want to make it in this world, you better work, your wife better work, everybody better be contributing, you better not, you know, because we have to have everything. We have to have everything everybody else has. And trust me, I am not preaching against you having things this morning. That is not what's on my heart. What's on my heart is, do we love to serve the Lord with our money? Does it give us a thrill to give our money away to the Lord's work? I know we get thrilled when we find a good deal. You know, when we find that thing we've been looking for, oh, there, and it's on sale? Oh, what am I going to have to do? Let me see. I'll take a little money from here, and I'll take a little money from there, and I'll put it together, and I'll get it, and I'll just, you know, if I have to, I'll just eat canned soup for, you know, the next week or so, and I'll be able to pay that bill that's coming up. Do we do that with the Lord? Do we love to give to His work? This is loving to serve the Lord. It wasn't that Ananias and Sapphira did anything wrong by selling their property and keeping some of it and giving some to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. What was wrong is that there was an outpouring of love towards God's work at the time. And people were giving all to the Lord. And they wanted the recognition of giving all. They wanted to appear like the others that were serving like that. That's what they wanted. And they contrived to lie to the disciples and the Holy Ghost. Can't serve. Can't serve two masters. Can't do that. Can't appear to serve two masters. There's many people out there appearing to do the right thing, but they're serving their own bellies. Luke 10, 40 through 42. Luke 10, 40 through 42. The story about Martha. She was cumbered with much serving. And she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? But bid her therefore to help me." And Jesus told her, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but this one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Oh, listen, dear ones, we can pour out our efforts into a lot of things. We can pour it out into keeping up our yards and pour it out into keeping up our homes and pour it out to redecorating ever so often just because I'm tired of what I've been looking at. We can pour it into cars and things and pleasures in this life. We can pour our efforts into all those things, but they aren't lasting. And Jesus was giving a lesson here on lasting. I know there are many people that say, well, you know, there was all these people came. Somebody had to take care of them. Somebody had to feed them. Somebody had to get beds ready. Somebody had to do this. And Martha was in there doing it, but she wasn't loving to do it. See, that's the difference. She wasn't loving to do it because she wouldn't have cared if anybody else helped her if she was loving to do it. If she was giving it to the Lord and doing it as unto the Lord, she'd had just as much blessing as Mary was having at the feet of Jesus. She'd have had the same blessing if she was loving it, loving to serve the Lord. Oh, I'm going to make the best meal and I'm going to do this. And this is for the Lord. I'm going to make it so comfortable. This is for the Lord. And the Lord would have blessed her in her mind, her heart, but instead, she wasn't loving all the extra work. She was doing it because it needed to be done, but she wasn't loving it. You know, Mary didn't even pretend to care about the work. She just needed Jesus. She just needed that right then. Mary and Martha were two different people. They went through the death of their brother two different ways. One was probably very outward, Martha, very outspoken, Mary pondered a lot of things in her heart. Things happened to her in her mind and worked on her there. And so for her, it was just falling at his feet was all she was capable of doing. And Martha couldn't see Mary's side, couldn't see what was happening with Mary. She's thinking, well, you just need to get up and you need to help and you need to do this and you need to do that. You just go on. Sometimes that's what we do to people, isn't it? They're going through some hard things, and because this is the way we go through hard things, we just tell them, come on, get up, go on. Quit thinking about this, quit doing this. But they do it different than you. And what works for you doesn't always work for them. And we need to have love and compassion for each other in our struggles. And when people say, I just can't, I just don't know how, we don't say, well, they just need to do this and they just need to do that. No. Do you love to serve your Jesus? Because if you love to serve your Jesus, you're going to love to serve the people. And you're going to have what Jesus had toward the people. You're going to have what he had. You're going to be able to look and understand some things about them as them as individuals, not them as a group, but as an individual. Amen. You're going to be able to see their weakness and all. Do we love to serve the Lord? Sometimes we can get so caught up in serving that we forget about God, serving God. It had been better for Martha if she'd have made something simple. You know how that is. We're having company coming, you know, and this and that and everything. We wear ourselves out to where we can't even enjoy the company when they get there. You'd have been better off having sandwiches than to have cook for days and days and days, and then you visit with them for a few hours, and they're all going to be there for one night, and then you're cleaning up, and you didn't even get to visit with them at all. And God had things he wanted you to talk to them about. God had things where you were going to sit and enjoy, and not only enjoy them, but maybe he had a word here and a word there of wisdom and all. But we're so caught up in serving other things rather than God. Do we love to serve God? Quit trying to get recognition. Matthew 24:45-51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Are you a faithful and wise servant? Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Are you that kind that you can hand out meat in due season? You have what you have, you have what you need on hand to be able to feed somebody? We're talking about service to the Lord. We're not talking about food. We're talking about service to the Lord. Can you feed somebody? Are you a faithful and wise servant? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are a lot of people out there right now that say, I love the Lord. I believe in God. But they don't serve Him. And they're going to be caught one day. They're putting off some things. I love the Lord and I serve, but you know, I just, I probably shouldn't do this. I probably should get rid of this. I probably shouldn't indulge in this. Maybe I should change this about my life. Maybe I should do this a little different. But the Lord isn't coming. The Lord hasn't come. I have some time. God's merciful. People out there say, God knows me. He knows my heart. He knows I really want to serve. I just don't know how. I don't have this. I don't understand that or whatever. But God knows my heart. Yes, he does. And he knows that you don't have a love for him, nor a love to serve him. Because you let other things intrude. You let other hurts and misunderstandings and different things intrude in your service to God. A good and wise and faithful servant is always ready to hand out meat. Always ready. You ever been caught? Got that phone call? Somebody needs some help and they want some prayer, and you just said something. You just did something. Something just happened. You're out of sorts. You're having a fight with the devil about, well, they said this and they said that and all these things. And then that phone rings and you're not ready to hand out meat. You're not ready. Do you love to serve you, Jesus? Do you love him enough to stay ready? To not let those things intrude, to lay down my way and lay down my thoughts, lay down whether I'm right or not, lay down whether they hurt my feelings. Do you love to serve the Lord enough to lay down yourself so that you have meat to hand out to others, so that you can serve God with a pure and true heart? Do you have that kind of love in serving him? People have a saying, is it just your bread and butter? You know, is it just what you need? It's the only thing that really satisfies. Is that it? I think there would be more people doing more things for God if they loved to serve God. They want God to serve them. You've heard it. You've heard it from your own family members. Pray for this. Pray for that. Help, you know, I'm looking for this job interview, you know, have the saints pray for me. This is happening. Have the saints pray for me. They want God to serve them. But they don't have any love whatsoever to serve God. They have no intention today to serve God. None. But they want God to serve them today. Tell the saints to pray for me. I want God to serve me today, but I don't want to serve him. I'm not ready. I have problems. I have this. I have that. I don't know what's wrong with me. All these things. You just don't love the Lord. And you don't love to serve him at all. You just love for him to serve you. Saints, we got to be careful that that's not where we are. That we just love for him to serve us. Oh, he gets me out of this. He gets me out of that. Oh, this or that. I heard a message not too long ago that Brother Marty preached about the five smooth stones. And that, you know, we always hear David and Goliath, we always hear that, you know, oh, the Lord will come in, and no matter if you're small and it looks big, God will deliver you. God will do this and God will do that. And he said, that's basically, I'm going to say, that's God serving you. But what did David do? He didn't go running out there unprepared. He didn't do that. He actually, on the way to the giant, stopped at the brook and picked out certain stones. He is careful about the stones. It says they were five smooth. And the whole thought of the matter is that God does not do everything for us. We have to supply. And we have to serve the Lord. In order to have what we need in our lives, we need to love to serve the Lord. As we serve the Lord serves us. Amen. Don't put off God's service. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody comes to your mind and, oh, I should really call them and see how they're doing. But I put it off and put it off. All of a sudden, here it is, 9 o'clock at night. And I can't call them. Now they're probably in bed.
Yes.
See, putting off God's service.
Yes.
Something else got in the way. I was doing something else when it came to my mind. You know, the Lord is intentionally going to make things come to your mind when you're right in the busiest part of serving yourself. Because truly, that's what it is. We're busy serving ourselves. We're cleaning our stuff. We're doing our things. We're getting our stuff done. We are serving ourselves. And right in the middle of the busiest part of serving ourselves, he's going to give you something to serve someone else and to serve him. And we have to love the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Listen, I believe that the saints pray. When we send out these prayer requests over the phone, I believe the saints pray. But don't you hope that they have a... Don't you hope that you see them? This is how I want to see you all. This is how I want to see it. I send a prayer request out. And the minute they get it, oh my goodness, they're stumbling over themselves to get to their closet. You know, they're dropping right there. They're pulling off the road. They're pulling into a parking place. They're doing whatever. They're not saying, well, as soon as I get home, you know, I'll go in and have prayer. No, no. They love to serve. The Lord's calling. The Lord's calling. Something for me to do. And shouldn't I pour my whole heart into it? Or do maybe I'm in the middle of a meal, you know? Do I swallow or do I spit it out and say, Lord, you know? In other words, do you understand what I'm saying? That we have such a love to be used of the Lord. We have such a love to be of service to him. We love his service. We love his ways. That we can't wait to get there to do what the Lord wants us to do. We can't. It's just our joy. It's our strength. It's everything for us. Do we love to serve the Lord like that? I want to think that you all do that. I want to think that you do. I have to admit I've swallowed. I have to admit I've waited till I got home. I will confess to you. Listen, we have to love to serve our God. It has to be more important than anything else we have going for us. There are times I've pulled over, somebody has called. They don't know where I'm at. But I'm in a motorized shopping cart in the middle of the supermarket. And I don't tell them, well, wait, I'll call you back. I wait till I get home. I don't do that. I go off in a... motorize myself over to some quiet place in the store. I talk to them right there. That's what I do. And if people walk by and hear me, all right. But that's what I do because it's now. Now is when the call came. Do you think God doesn't know you're on a shopping cart in the middle of the store? Do you think he doesn't know that? But how important is it to you? If you want, you can get up. get off the shopping cart, leave it all there, go out to your car. I'm not telling you the way to do it, but is it so important that my stuff gets put to the side? I will put myself out in everything to serve God. Do I love to serve Him? Do I love to do this? Is this important to me? Or do I just want God to serve me? 2 Timothy 2:22-26. It says here, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The servant of the Lord must not strive. It says, flee youthful lusts. Do you know that people strive after youthful lusts? Lust means it's a striving. It's a striving to have this. I don't want to give this up. This is so important to me. This is, I want this. It's a lust. It's an inordinate affection. I want this more than anything, and I will have it more than anything. And I will stay up all night to do it. And I will lay aside work some days to do it. And I will, you know what I'm talking about. There are all manner of things out there. Youthful lusts. It says here, the servant of the Lord must not strive. We don't strive after those things. We don't do those things. Knowing that they do gender, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Knowing that they do gender strives. Listen, dear ones. It's not about defending God. It's not about defending the Bible. It's not about trying to come up with an answer to some obscure, unlearned question that somebody asks and tries to put you in a place that you can't answer. Tries to talk to you about, if God is so-and-so and so-and-so, then why does God allow so-and-so and so-and-so? You will be like a hamster in a wheel, trying to follow all those things down, because as soon as you say something, they're going to have something else. And as soon as you say it, they're going to have something else. And the whole idea is to make you the hamster. That's the whole idea. They don't want knowledge. They don't really want the question answered. It's their argument against God. And do you know you don't have to take up for God? You don't have to do that. You don't have to defend Him. He is well able to defend Himself. You don't have to take up for Him. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to, I have seen people that have just almost driven themselves. They've driven themselves to a bad place, trying to answer all the unsaved their questions, because they think that if I can just answer them good enough, they're going to come to the Lord. And that isn't it. Did God answer all your questions when you came to the Lord? Do you still have some questions in your mind? Sure we do. We don't know everything. But we've learned one thing. God doesn't always answer our questions. Because sometimes they're just foolish and unlearned. Sometimes they're just not, they are not what we should be dwelling on. They are not important that we know the answer to. There are divisions among God's people. Because people think they have to have an answer for this and an answer for that. And so people have divided up over what they think the answers are. Sad, isn't it? Servant of the Lord must not strive. Gentle, patient, meekness. Must not strive. That means in anything. That means in your business practices. That means with your customers. It means with the people on the highway with you. It means with the people in the line at the supermarket. It means I don't strive with my husband. I don't strive with my wife. I don't strive with my children. I do everything in meekness and gentleness, patience. That's how I do everything. Do you love to serve enough to fight against always needing to be right, to fight against having to have the last word, to fight against just letting myself go? You know, some people, they feel like when they get upset or angry that they can just let themselves go and just ask the Lord to forgive them later. And people will say, they do it over and over, and then people will say, when they say, you know, would you forgive me? And people get the attitude of, I don't think you're really sorry because you keep doing it. Right? Do you think the Lord looks at us sometimes like that? That he says, I don't think you're really sorry because you keep doing this. I've supplied you with things. I've instructed you. I've even, when you just about to go off like you know you shouldn't do, I've even talked to you and said, stop, close your mouth, be quiet. Do we love to serve our Lord enough to fight against the things that make us a bad servant? To fight against the things in our own personality that make us a bad servant. Colossians 3:22-24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It says, servants, obey your masters in everything according to the flesh. Back in that day, there was servitude. There just was. There was people that were servants. There were some that were sold into to be servants, to pay off debts. There was this kind of a thing. And Jesus spoke and addressed these things. He didn't free them from it and say, oh, you don't have to do this anymore or whatever. He did not deal with that. What he dealt with was your heart. Your heart. If you're a servant, love to be a servant. If you've been sold into servitude, and listen, I don't know about you, but have you been sold into servitude to the Lord? Have you been bought with a price? Have you willingly said, Lord, I will serve you these many years left in my life for what you have done for me and how you brought me out and how you bought me and made me free? Have we done that? He says, then do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Listen, we're to do it heartily. It's supposed to be heartfelt. We're supposed to love to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord sometimes isn't pleasant. Sometimes there's hardships in serving the Lord. Yeah. The apostles ran into hardships all the time. Yeah. All manner of things happened to them because they were serving the Lord. In our day and age, many, many things are happening because people are serving the Lord. All around the world, people are trying to serve the Lord and many bad things are coming their way. But I got to do it heartily. I can't do it halfway. I can't do it that way. It has to be heartily. And not as for eye service or men pleasers. In other words, okay, I'll work for the Lord, but I want to be out there in the front. And I want everybody to see and know so that people will come up and say, oh, you did such a good job. That's a man pleaser. There, you run into those people at work, right? The ones that want to do all the projects and everything that show out, that where they can get accolades and recognition, and then they shove off all the stuff that never gets recognized on the underlings so that they, you know, they don't get recognized. But I'm going to do this one because this is the one where you get the award, or this is the one where you get recognized. It's not like that with the Lord. It's not like that with the Lord. He's going to reward you just as much for doing something behind the scenes that nobody knows about as the one that did it out in the open. His rewards are never measured out according to what men see. They're measured out according to what He sees in your heart as you do it. Now, if your heart isn't right, and it's not doing right, then you're not going to receive very much. In other words, I'm doing this because nobody else is doing it. Somebody has to do it. I don't know what's wrong with all these people, and they don't do anything, and I'm the one left here doing it. You're not going to receive any reward for that. That's not loving to serve the Lord. Loving to do it. To have, oh, listen, I think back of the ones that have gone on before us. They loved to serve the Lord. Amen. The things they did, the things they did without, the hardships they faced to serve the Lord. We have it really easy today. And it shows. It shows. We need to love to serve the Lord in whatever capacity He calls, in whatever He does, in whatever He wants us to be involved in. We may do all the groundwork. We may do all the hard part. And somebody steps in at the last and their name gets attached to it and they get all the accolades. No, they didn't. Men just saw something. But God saw every single thing you did. He saw, and you were doing it heartily unto Him. You weren't doing it to be recognized by any. You were doing it for Him. And that's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. To be free of trying to do things to get men's attention. Luke 17:7-10. Luke 17:7-10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherein with I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? That's what a servant is. Doth he thank that servant? Because he did the things that were commanded him? He says, I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. We're just unprofitable. We don't deserve accolades to do what God asked us to do. Did He forgive you of your sins when you asked? Does He give you grace when you asked? When you asked for the Holy Ghost, did He give you the Holy Ghost? Has He withheld any good thing from you? And yet, we're just doing things that God commands. And we think we should be recognized. We should be appreciated. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Husbands, if you think that you're going to get your reward for being a good husband from your wife, you're looking in the wrong place. Wife, if you think you're going to get it from your husband, you're looking in the wrong place. It doesn't matter whether they recognize it or whether they appreciate it. God is looking at your service. And I'm serving my wife every day, and I'm serving my husband every day. And God looks at that service, and He rewards. He rewards. But if you're looking for the wife to say, oh, you're so wonderful, and you do this so wonderful and everything, so that you can feel good about yourself, you can forget it, because she's not always going to remember to do that. It may not be on our mind. It may not be on our heart. Doesn't mean that she doesn't appreciate you. It just means you're looking for it in the wrong place. We're to serve the Lord. He helps us to be the husband. He helps us to be the good wife. Parents, if you're looking for your children to appreciate you before you're validated as being a good mother and father, you're looking in the wrong place. Because they're going to find fault, and they're going to find things wrong, and they're going to grow up saying, I'm never going to do that to my children. And I, you know, this was done, and that was done, and their memory is not going to be your memory. So if you're looking to validate being a good parent from your children, you're looking in the wrong place. I serve the Lord. I'm a good mother. I'm a good father because I serve the Lord. The Lord has laid down things for me to do that say that this is what you will do if you're a good mother. This is what you will do if you're a good father. And I don't look for my reward here. Although God does reward here. But I don't look for it here. I'm serving the Lord. He's taking note and He is rewarding. It doesn't have to be seen. It doesn't have to be recognized. It doesn't have to be that somebody sees it. Because God sees everything. So don't expect rewards and recognition here. And God says that He's going to reward you. Amen. He's going to do it. And it may not be things that anybody else sees. It may be that extra joy in your heart that He pours over you. And you wonder why I'm so joyful today. I just feel so good today. It's because He's been watching. He's seen His servant. He's seen His servant doing what she's supposed to do or he's supposed to do. And He poured out a blessing and a reward for you. And you don't even know why, but God knows why. Do you love to serve the Lord? Do you love to serve Him? There are some people that serve the Lord in their own strength. They serve the Lord in their own strength. And there's a place in the Bible where it says they came up before the Lord at the end and they said, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? They did it all in their own strength. They did it for their recognition. They did it for a lot of things. Money, who knows what all their motivations were. But it wasn't a love and a servitude towards God. Yeah. That wasn't their motivation. So God said, I don't know you. Yeah. Because you didn't do it for me. You didn't do it for me. You did things, but you didn't do it for me. There's also, remember Peter, when he reached out with his sword and he cut off the servant's ear. Yeah. Listen, he had told the Lord earlier, he says, I'll die for you. That's a big statement. I'll die for you. And do you know He is willing to die for him? That's why He drew that sword. And that's why He took a swipe. Because He was going to fight him to the death. They were probably outnumbered. They didn't have more swords than he did, but he was going to fight to the death. He was going to give his life for the Lord. But see, that was what he was strong at. But God had something else. He said, I want you to give me your life. Not die for me. Give me your life. Give it to me. Serve me. take this abuse and take these punishments and take all the things that people are going to hand out to you and how they're going to disrespect you and all these things. Take these things. He told Paul, I've showed him what he's going to have to suffer for me. You're going to be my servant, Paul. You're going to be my servant. And you're going to face so many hard things.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be with you. Are you going to love to serve me? And Paul loved to serve the Lord. And Peter loved to serve the Lord. And they died for him eventually. They gave their lives for him. But some people want to fight in their own strength. Our strength will never get it done. It's the Lord's strength. And it's his way. And a soft answer turneth away wrath. And people cannot get that through their heads, particularly in this day and age. You can't hardly find a soft answer anywhere on the news, in the newspaper, on the internet, anywhere. You cannot find a soft answer. And that's why everyone is so wrathful. Because the wrath isn't being turned away. It's not being quenched. It's being ignited. We need to be the quenching. We need to be the quenching. We don't get involved in those wrathful arguments and things that are going on out there. We have to be the quenchers. We do it God's way. God's way. We pray. We pray. We ask God to help. We pray for our leaders. And we don't pray and say, oh, Lord, you know, help our leaders. No, we say, Lord, have mercy. You see these sinful men that are striving with one another, hating one another, trying to find the dirt on one another. God, help them. Because they can only produce what they're feeding. They can only produce that. They cannot produce peace. They cannot produce it with the way they're going about it. They're serving themselves. They're serving their own bellies. They're serving their party, their thinking, their movement, whatever it is. They're serving themselves, not God. If everyone were to turn to God in this country and begin to serve God, we would not have these problems. We wouldn't have them. No matter how bad they are right this minute, we would not have them. Because they're caused from sin. They're caused from doing it the devil's way. They're caused from hatred and malice and envy and strife. That's what it's all caused from. Do we love to serve our Jesus in a world like this and keep our mouths shut? I'm going to tell you something. It's not good to get involved in all of this stuff that's going on. Do we love to serve our Jesus? Did he get involved in those things? There was lots of things going on when he was on the earth. There was lots of inner fighting and there was lots of things going on. The Sadducees were against the Pharisees and all the strife and all that was going on in the Jewish religion. And then all the strife, they wanted to be delivered from their servitude to the Romans. And they thought Jesus was, you know, the Messiah was going to do that for them. And so they were all serving themselves. Did he get involved in any of that? No. He went straight to the source, which is your heart. Sin is why you're acting this way and why you're doing this way and why this is happening. That's what he did. Do we love to serve the Lord like that? Are we willing to stay out? Stay outside all of the sinful melee that the devil is perpetrating upon mankind everywhere. Not just here, everywhere. Are we willing to stay out? Concentrate on serving him. Doesn't matter what other sinful men are serving. Amen. What they're saying, what they're serving, what they're striving. I mean, no, it matters what God says. What can I do? What is my part here? What is my part? Oh, Lord God, help us. Are we trying to serve him in our own strength, our own ideas, our own words, our own answers? Or are we serving him? Which means I won't get recognized for being very smart. Right? They won't think I'm very educated. They'll think that I'm weak and I need a crutch. That's why I'm looking to religion. So, does it matter what they think? What matters is that I love to serve my Jesus. And whatever he calls me to do, that's what I'm going to be found doing. Regardless of whatever's happening in the world, I'm going to be doing the right thing. And I'm not going to get caught up in all of the hoopla of it. I'm not going to be found drawn out. You ever get drawn out in something?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been drawn out before.
Oh, yeah.
At first, you don't realize what's happening. And then the devil just kind of giving you little crumbs or something, you know, and you think, oh, well, this conversation is going really good. I think, you know, and then all of a sudden, the enemy lowers the boom. And you go, oh, Lord, shouldn't have been here. Shouldn't have been here. Shouldn't have been talking about this. Because now I'm caught. I'm out here. And they're just going to hang me out to dry now. And everybody's going to laugh and say this or say that. Just the devil trying to draw us out. Trying to draw us out from our service to God. We don't serve all of these worldly ambitious things. We don't serve the ideas of the world. We don't serve what the world thinks is important and what leads to peace. We know what leads to peace. It's the gospel. And we're working for the Lord to spread the gospel. Not the worldly things that people say. We don't need to spread that. We got to spread the gospel. That's our commission. Do we love to spread the gospel? You know, there was in John 12, verse 3. 3 through 6. It's talking about Mary when she came and anointed Jesus' feet. Ointment of spikenard. Very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of it. And you know, Judas Iscariot says, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Because he carried the bag. We know the story.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know that Jesus did not have beautiful feet? Did you know that? In that day and age, when they wore sandals and they traveled over rough ground and they had to do a lot of walking, they had to do all walking. Unless you were rich, you didn't have any other way to go but walking. Walking, walking, walking. Your whole life walking. Do you know that his feet probably had calluses? There was no people there to give him a pedicure. He had broken nails. You know, he had maybe an infection in one toe. He had a lot of things wrong with his feet. I'm trying to give you a picture here. I have no idea what his feet looked like. But he was a man, like every other man. And I imagine in those days, their feet were not pretty. They were rough and calloused and hurt. They had probably many scars and bruises and things. And you know how we are today? How are we? There's a lot of people in here, right here in this room, that don't want to touch nobody's feet. Right? There's a lot of people in here that don't want to do that. And she came in and she anointed his feet with this ointment and then wiped his feet with her hair. His feet weren't clean. In fact, Jesus, in another part, another place, said, you didn't give me even a bowl to wash my feet in when I came in. So they were dirty. Dirty feet. Dear ones. Not only did she rub ointment on them, but then she took her own hair and wiped the greasy, dirty ointment off his feet. Doesn't sound pretty, does it? We read this story and we think, oh, this is such a pretty story. But the reality was, it was a dirty job.
Yes.
Do you know there's a lot of dirty jobs to do for the Lord?
Yes.
You know that? Cleaning the bathrooms. You know, cleaning the cabins down at camp meeting. There's a lot of dirty jobs. And there are people that let their feelings about it interfere, and they don't do it because, ooh, I can't stand. I'm afraid of spiders. Can't clean cabins. You know, I have a problem with smelling disinfectants and things, and I can't clean the bathrooms. I'm just coming up with some things. You can come up with your own. You know why there are some jobs you have not done for the church. You know why there are some jobs that you have not done for the Lord. You know why there are some times that you say, okay, I've gone as far as I can with that person. This has turned into a burden now. Something I can't help them. I realize I can't help them, and I'm done. It's a dirty job. It's a dirty job. They're calling you at night, calling you late at night, calling you here, calling you there. You know, always, you know, you can look down and see that number on your phone and go, oh. You don't love to serve Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't turn them away. They come to him day and night and he doesn't turn them away. Why are you doing that? Why are you turning them away? Don't you know they're God's creatures? Don't you know they're his creation? They're his children. And they're wanting so bad to do it the right way. Maybe they don't have a lot of understanding. Maybe they do and they're stubborn. I'm not going to say what the reason is why they aren't getting through. It doesn't matter what it is. Are you going to love to serve Jesus enough to get them through? Or is your patience going to wear out? There's some really dirty jobs out there. And then there's the people that look at what the efforts that people are doing. These people love to serve the Lord. They love to serve the Lord. And they're doing this over here and they're going, why are they doing that? You know, who told them they could do that? Who said they could, you know, do this little thing or that little thing? Or they're trying to beautify something. And their taste isn't what your taste is. They're putting up a border in the bathroom. And it's not a border you would put up. And don't they know it's just going to come down anyway? Don't they know it's this, it's that, and everything? And these people, they're just trying to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And make something beautiful for him. And we got our agendas. Our agendas are, it needs to be done right. Because I'm right. We find fault with people that serve. And if we're not careful, we let them know we're finding fault with them serving, and so they shut up.
Mm-hmm.
They back off, and they don't serve anymore. And then we say, why are they backing up? Why are they? Because they felt you. They felt your disapproval. They didn't feel your gladness and your joy in them serving the Lord. All they felt was ridicule, or you could have done it this way, or wouldn't have been better done that way. Well, I don't like that color. You should have picked a different color. God loves all of these colors. He doesn't care what color it is. He loves them all. He made them. But we care. Okay, our last scripture. John 12:25-26. He that loveth this life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Yes.
You're not going to get honored in this world for your service to God. You are going to be disrespected and dishonored. But you're not looking for the honor of men. You are striving to be honored by God. You are striving to be seen of God. You are striving to serve Him and to do it so well that He has no complaints with you. He has no corrections with you. Isn't that what we're striving for? To live a faultless life where God does not have to keep correcting us. Will we ever get there? Probably not. We're going to have to be corrected from time to time because we don't have enough wisdom or understanding to know everything that needs to be done a certain way. But God teaches us. But it says, if you love this life, if you love your own life, if you're selfish, self-centered, serving yourselves, serving just your family, serving just the ones you love the most, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose that life. You aren't going to get the recognition you want. There have been people that have tried to gain recognition, have worked hard, put in hours, put in years, trying to gain recognition, think that they've just about made it to the top. And what happens? Somebody shows favoritism and exalts somebody from behind them that has not done any of the work into the position they were seeking. If you love this life, you're not going to get it. You're going to lose it. You won't have it. People go out seeking love, honor, respect from a husband or a wife. Listen, you're not going to receive it from there. Amen. They're imperfect beings. Even saved ones are imperfect. Yes. They will have some things that do not sit well and that might even hurt you. They may not mean to, but it might hurt you. If you're looking there, you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose what you're looking for. You're not going to gain it. But it says, but if you serve me, love to serve me. No matter what husband, wife is doing, no matter what children are doing, love to serve me. If you will love to serve me, I will honor you. My Father will honor you. We will come and sup with you. We will be everything you need in this life. Honor me. Serve me. Love to serve me. Not just it's a bother. Oh, I'm getting called away from this. No, I just love to serve the Lord. I'm anxious to. I can't wait. My husband, he was anxious to talk to anybody about the Lord. Anxious. He would make it happen if it wasn't happening. He talked to the about the Lord to the salesman on the phone. The people that call and want to sell you something, he would talk to them on the phone about the Lord. They would hang up on him. He loved to talk about the Lord and serve him and all of that. I admired that in him because I was quieter. And I didn't have those social skills, whatever. But maybe it really wasn't skills. Maybe it was love. Maybe I just didn't have enough love for the Lord. Maybe I didn't have enough love to serve Him so that I could open my mouth and forget about me and forget about my insecurities and, oh, I can't do this good and I don't know what to say, but just open my mouth and let the Lord fill it.
Amen.
Do you love to serve the Lord? It's going to mean something, Lord, when we get to the end for the Lord to say, well done. You think he's going to give it, he's going to say, well done to a servant that hasn't served him? That hasn't loved to serve him? Well done. Well done.
Yes,
amen.
Just thank the Lord for what I heard.